of the hardest thing for us to do is to wait. It's a simple thing to do, really, isn't it? It's to wait. I was talking with a brother in the Lord the other day, and he has a situation in his life, and he says, I want to go deal with it. I just want to go take care of this thing right now. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? And I said, brother, I'm going to tell you something. And I said, and this is what I've learned. I said, sometimes you got to wait. Sometimes you got to let God do what he's got to do in other people and to finish what he's doing in you. Let's take that time. Let his peace. This is a whole new week. I know you're waiting for the other shoe to drop this week. Don't. And when it drops, don't be surprised. It's going to happen. Garbage is going to happen. I shared a post last night on my Facebook page in which this guy who's a little bit older than me was telling a story because he was talking about how right now we're in such distrust in this country with people. We're always expecting evil, the worst things out of everybody because of what we're hearing. And he said, you know, it was the summer of 1969, and he and his dad were traveling, and they were in California, and I forget what car they had. I think it was an old Ford, and the water pump went out. And at that time, you know, California wasn't as big as the cities are now, and, you know, with all the people. He said, we had 9 or 10 miles we had to walk to get into town. And I think it was Encino is where he was heading. And he said, we got down the road, and this guy in a flatbed pickup truck stopped and said, you guys need a lift. And so, yeah, they jumped into bed, and down the road they went. And, well, he said, what's the matter? And he said, well, our car broke down. And he said, well, I'll give you a lift, and I'll pull your car into town. I got a little ahead of myself there. And he said, so we got there, and he asked the guy, he said, how much do I owe you for towing my car? He says, I ain't got much. And he said, well, see, now I ain't charging you nothing. So he's like, oh. Now, mind you, his dad had grew up in the Depression. His dad had seen war. And this was 1969. So most of you know, even if you weren't there, you know what was happening in the 60s. And he said, you know, my dad was just so skeptical of people. And he said, then the guy's like, well, he dropped him off at his buddy's garage. He said, let me give my buddy a holler. And he called his buddy on the payphone, and he says, I ain't got no money. He says, you don't understand, I don't have any money. And the guy said, we don't have to worry about that. And this is the guy at the garage. And it's like, well, we don't have the part for your car. Well, they gave the guy that owned the parts store a ring. And he says, now, wait a second. You need to understand, I have no money for the parts. And the old cowboy that picked him up originally said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, I got a train car full of watermelons that needs unloaded. If you and your boy will help me unload, he said, it's a task. And he said, if you'll help me unload that and onto my vehicles, he said, I'll pay for the part. He said, well, him and his dad did, and he said, it was every bit of 140 degrees in that train car. He said, we're handing out. He said, it was not an easy task. And he said, we got done. About that time, our car pulls up. And the guy gets out of the car. He says, oh, it's all fixed. He says, you're ready to go. And the guy's like, the dad was like, I just really can't believe what I'm seeing here, guys. He said, thank you, thank you. And they said, as they were getting ready to leave, the mechanic said, now wait 1 second, though. And he said, I could see my dad's countenance change. The other shoe was about to drop. My dad had been expecting the other shoe to drop. He's like, yeah, this guy's not letting me out of here. And he said, the mechanic said, you ain't going anywhere until you and your boy come and have a shower at my house, get clean shirts on, and have Sunday dinner. He said, don't believe everything you're hearing on TV. And I'm telling you, don't believe everything you're hearing. Believe what you're reading in your word when it says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. The devil is scared because God's people are getting angry without sin. Huge difference. So when I tell you to wait on the Lord, I mean wait. You wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you let God do what he's got to do. Amen? Now let's bless the tithe and offering. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you. Lord, I thank you that your word, you sent your word. You gave it to us in writing, and you sent it in the flesh as Jesus came. And he was the epitome of every word you've ever spoken. Lord, I pray right now that as we come before you, your presence is here, and I know it is. So, Lord, I bless this tithe and this offering. Lord God, I cannot tell you how awesome it is to see what you are doing through this body. Father, I thank you for every dime we've been able to give out to help the gospel, to help feed people, to help clothe people. Lord, I thank you that we are able to do this. I bless this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be, be seated. Just 1 second. I did forget something. See? I just about forgot. We had some baptisms last week. See, I was standing back here. See how quick I can forget things? We had some baptisms last week, and we'd like to give them their certificates. I'd like to say if you take the certificates down to McDonald's or a Dairy Queen or somewhere, you'll get a small cone, but that is not the case. But this will remind you of the day that you said, Lord, I deny myself. And I laid down my... Okay. So as I read your name, would you please come up? So Miss Tana Rochelle Saylor, would you please come up? Now the hilarious part is, I told her the other day when I was talking to her, I said, you know, I remember you coming to church with your great-grandma. Yes. As a little one. Yeah, some of you knew her too. And it's like, this is so awesome. Thank you. Robert Joseph McCoy. Or Joe, as we know him. He decided at the last minute, you know what, I'm done. I'm going to do it. I'm sure maybe he'd done it before, but this time he said, I'm done. And I'll tell you what, he's a brave man. He didn't plug his nose. Miss Monica Osborne. Now, share your testimony that you had. She asked me if she could share a testimony of something that took place this week, so...
She was my mom's chief deputy when my mom was the auditor. So she wrote this to me because we've been corresponding back and forth. So she wrote this to me last Tuesday. She said, Mason went to Children's Hospital with second-degree burns, are healed not completely, but no more bandages, no more restrictions. 11 days from the fire, nobody heals that quickly from second-degree burns. Mason told Ashley that he had blisters on the palms of his hands. In the squad, asked Grandpa. Jen said yes, he did. He had no burns on the palms, according to the doctors. We found his socks, and the whole bottom was burned out. Yet he had no burns on his feet. Doctors were amazed at his healing progress. His heavenly angels are and were and are with him. Thank Jesus. Reminder, according to the doctors, he wasn't even supposed to get out of the hospital until last Friday.
Praise God.
I talked to Phil this morning, and Phil said that he's practicing football.
Praise God. We serve a great God. Amen. All right, now the super kids are dismissed. You ever have those times when you think you're so smart? Am I the only one? I'm so smart. I did this, boy. I'll tell you, you know, when we bought that house 8 years ago, believe it or not, it's been 8 years, and we bought that house 8 years ago, we were just going to leave it pretty much as it was for a while, and then we decided we wanted a garage. Well, anybody ever knows how house projects go? I said, we got to do this while I feel like doing it. I built on a garage. I said, well, if we're going to build a garage on, let's put a better bedroom, because our bedroom was narrow. And I am not kidding you. It was 9 feet wide. Okay, 15 feet long, but 9 feet wide. We have a queen bed. That left about this much room on each side of the bed. And I jumped up, I jumped up one night and I ate the wall. And plaster walls, I don't care how bad they are cracked, still don't move. But anyhow, so last year I decided, well, when I got to feeling a little better, or no, it was the year before, it's been that long, before I broke my back, I thought, I'm going to put up this crown molding. Well, I'm going to get smart. You know, anybody put up crown molding, you know, it's hard to find the studs. It's hard to find wood to get the nail into. So I'm going to put up some wood all the way around that room. Well, either I didn't get the exact same size of crown molding that I had laid it out with, or, as they are known to do, the manufacturers changed their sizing just a little bit, and it just was not fitting right. So after a couple days of very frustrated trim work, I'm like, God, I just got this one piece, and I'm done. Help me get this piece. And so I just start chiseling back a little bit, and up. That got better. I'm like, I got my thing to find my angle. I'm right. My angle's right. I got to looking, and the boards I had put up were holding all of my trim out because they were not going to work with that trim. So I ended up taking all the crown molding back down, and I used trim screws, just so you know. That's how I didn't use nails. I used little trim screws. And ended up putting it all back up, and wouldn't you know it, it works a lot better. Now I have to use some really long screws to find some wood now, but nonetheless. All right, now that everybody's situated. So, I am going to carry on today in a message I started 2 weeks ago called A Closer Look at the Holy Spirit. I've had people ask some questions, various people have asked, so I'm not. Why not talk about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is why we're able to do anything. Otherwise, we would be Cretans, heathens, still. And so the last time we were talking, we looked at some things about what Jesus was telling us and how important the Holy Spirit is. And we have to understand, it is vital to our growth as our life as a believer to have the Holy Spirit. And I'll say it again, the Holy Spirit didn't come to make us goofy. We were already goofy. The Holy Spirit came to be our comforter. In John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the comforter. And I kind of gave you an analogy of, you know, about everybody in here has a comforter on their bed. Just about. Maybe you don't. I do. And normally I don't crawl underneath the comforter first thing when I get in bed. Maybe the sheet. But by morning, it's amazing how I found that comforter. That comforter's all wrapped up around my head and I'm nestled in there like a squirrel in the middle of winter. So a comforter is exactly what it means. It's something to bring us comfort, to bring us aid, to help us. The Holy Spirit's job is to help us, but to help us do what? Well, you know, be more victorious in our lives. Well, that's absolutely right. To be more victorious, but not in such a way that we become obnoxious jerks. Did I say that right? The Holy Spirit doesn't make us jerks. The Holy Spirit is gentle. Now, I always love the analogy when I look at it. It's like, okay, here we have the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit descends upon the Son of God as a dove. Not, he wasn't a dove, okay? According to all the pictures, it was a dove. They saw something come down gently and land. And it came down gently on Jesus. Now, we haven't quite gotten to the book of Acts yet. We're going to a little bit. But we, if you've been around for a moment in the body of Christ, you've heard and you've read about the tongues of fire. These people looked like they were on fire. The Holy Spirit had come upon them. Well, let's see. Jesus is Son of God, so he took on the attributes of his Father, and his Father's not a jerk. Most of us, if we took some, you know, I'd tell my kid, I'm a jerk. I know it. Just, and I've told my boys, you know, guess what? The nut doesn't fall far from the tree. So if you don't like this, you need to change that in you. So we now see the Holy Spirit identified as our comforter and our helper. His job, Jesus said, is to testify of God and Jesus, to testify. He will tell us what he has seen and heard from God. That's what the word testify means. To tell somebody what you've seen and heard. If you're in a trial, you are brought up as a witness, right? And you are called to give your testimony. You are called to talk about what you've seen and heard in that situation. Well, the Holy Spirit tells us what God has seen and what God is saying. So, in other words, God already knows what you're going to hit this afternoon. He knows what roadblock is already coming your way. He already knows. And if you have the Holy Spirit is rising up within you at that particular moment saying, do this. A week ago, when I was trying to finish up in the attic, and I'm crawling along here, I've got the system running, and I can hear whistling. And it's coming from the joints every 5 feet, or 4 feet on some of it, of the ductwork. It's just a little bit of air escaping. Well, hey, I want the air down here, not in the attic. So I'm going down through, I'm like, God, and I've been up and down, you can ask Angela, I've been up and down that ladder that day more times than I dare count. I was sick of being up and down the ladder. That's how bad it was. I'm like, God, I said, Lord, I said, it would be awesome if somebody could just walk in right now. And I could, but I was here by myself. I'm like, I'm the only person here. I said, it would be awesome if somebody could just walk in. I don't care who it is. Just to throw me that roll of tape that is down there on the floor. And I'm there and I said, Lord, you know what? I promise not to jump out of the attic if you send an angel to hand it to me. At that moment, as I'm still in there, you know, starting to, I didn't quite grumble, but I looked up and the Holy Spirit said, look. And from me to Harold was a roll of real duct tape, not the gray stuff, not the 100-mile-an-hour stuff, okay? That doesn't work. This was even the heavier gauge, the better stuff that I needed for this. And all I had to do was crawl across the trusses and drop down onto the scaffolding, which trusses is this far away from the scaffolding. Bend down, pick it up, and start right there and work my way back. That's how the Holy Spirit works. Because otherwise, I was going to have to crawl down, go all the way back down, go across, jump up all this stuff. I got pretty good at being a monkey. Justin looks at me. I say, come on, boy, get up here. And I'm hanging around, swinging around. And he says, I ain't part monkey, Dad. The Holy Spirit will show you things if you will open your eyes. If you will open your ears, he will help you through these things. Remember, he is the Alpha and Omega, the Omega, beginning and the end. He knows the first and he knows the last. He knows every day of your life. He knows what's going to happen on every day of your life. Well, if he knows, then I don't have to worry about trying to clean myself up. No, you do need to clean yourself up. Because he doesn't want your days to be wrapped up in stink. He wants your days to be glorious, powerful. So now, let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. We'll start there. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. He said, don't go away. There was nearly 500 people here. Now, if we read later on, we'll find out there was only 120 left. 500 people heard Jesus say this. But wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Let me stop right here for a second. Baptized. It means to be submerged. We just saw a great example of it last week. To submerge. Not sprinkle, not splash. Submerge. And just like the water, Joe can attest, it will get everywhere. If you don't plug your nose, it goes up your nose too, don't it? I know Angela said, oh, that's what I remember too. I didn't plug my nose. I thought I'd never have to plug my nose. And she went under and she's like, oh, my sinuses. The water goes everywhere. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be everywhere. You are supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there is no room for anything else. Doesn't mean it doesn't try to come back. It means you have now the power and the tools you need to keep taking the trash out. All right, next verse. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Stop. I have read Acts, I can't tell you how many times. This morning, verse 6 and verse 7, when I read them, they jumped out on the page and smacked me in the face. I don't know if this was at 7 o'clock or what time. Maybe it was me smacking myself up. But these two verses jumped out, and I'm here to help you, hopefully, because I am going to teach in Revelations very soon. But here's what hit me. It is not for you to know times or seasons. I've even believed this because I have. How did I miss this? This is as plain as the nose on my face. I'm not to know even the season. But yet, many are claiming the season will be such and such. If these were in your Bible right now, they would be read. These were spoken by the Son of God himself, telling us, don't worry about it. It's not for you to worry about what time or what season. Well, the parable of the fig tree, you know. Let's quit twisting scripture and read it for what it says. It says you're not to know the day, the hour, or the season. Because guess what? Most of us will live like crazy. We will do whatever we want up until the harvest season. Oh, I got to be good. Jesus might come back this season. Seriously? I used to have his t-shirt. I loved it. It had death with an hourglass. When I say death, it was a skeleton wearing a Grim Reaper stuff. And he had a pen. And it said, many who wait until the 11th hour die at 10:30. If you're waiting until the 11th hour to get your life straightened up, you don't have the 11th hour. You don't know what season it is. That is the word of God, not my opinion. That, like I said, I used to be, oh yeah, maybe we can know the seasons. We can know the seasons. No, I can't. I don't need to know the season. Because again, I'm going to do stupid stuff up until that season, right? Yeah, we're football season. Football season's kicking in. You know, these guys have been going to practice. They've been lifting and stuff. You know, how many of them were actually just lazing around, eating Cheetos and Pepsi and eating garbage? And most of them, up until, oh, well, we got a little bit of lifting. Come on. They wait and they wait and they wait. They wait until the last moment. Then they try to get ready. That is so bad to do. You'd be so much better if you just play football, just stay in a little bit of condition. But Christians, we should be living a victorious life all the time. Not just when it feels good to us. Yeah. I got new glasses on the way, by the way. I got these, but these things are awful. Verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That is phenomenal. Receive power. That word is dunamis. It means ability. See, I remember being at a basketball. It was actually a Mount Gilead Northmore basketball game when it was over here at the Cherry Street School years ago. And, you know, there's usually a police officer present during these games, regardless of any rivalries, because you never know what hothead might run his mouth and do something stupid, or her, in some cases, too. And anyhow, the guy that was the police officer at the time is a friend of mine. He's not a big guy by any means. And the woman behind me said, would you look at him? What is he going to do? Now, mind you, he's not a big physical man. Don't ever judge the size of the man in the fight, especially when he's got a .45 strapped to his side. And a stun gun in the other. What are you going to do now, lady? Those are some of my funniest. I love watching those videos, especially the military, because they have to put them through this training. It's hilarious. But you see, he had the ability. Now, there are two words for power in the New Testament, dunamis and exousia. Exousia means authority. We already have the authority. It was given to us by Jesus. We don't have to have dunamis to cast out demons or pray for the sick. We just have to have the authority. He said, behold, I give you all power. That's what he said. All authority. You have carte blanche authority over everything, over demons, over whatever. You have that authority. So what's this power, this ability? What else do I need? You need to be holy. You need to be holy. Not just with power to go out and have the authority to do things. You now need to be holy. And that is what the Holy Spirit gives us power to do. So that word literally means be able to overcome. If you read which we will probably hit at some point. I've taught about the seven churches before. But the first part of Revelation is the seven churches. And in every one of them except one, he said, if you will overcome this, if you will overcome. We had a lot of things in there to overcome. There's a lot of things to overcome. What kind of things is Jesus actually talking about? Well, it boiled down to this. There's a little book called Galatians. And in Galatians, there's a little passage of scripture that begins to talk about what things we need to overcome. Things like fornications, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfishness, drug use, hatred, drunkenness, just to start. These are called the works of the flesh. Now, I know if you're reading in there in Galatians, you're saying, well, Pastor, I don't see, I think it's chapter 5. He says, I don't see the word drug use. Well, the word they used is sorcery. And let's boil this down. The word is pharmakia. Does that word sound familiar to anybody? You don't even have to be a scholar of Greek to know that's where we get our word pharmaceuticals. And all you have to do is watch Bugs Bunny to know that in witchcraft, they're usually throwing an eye of a newt, a wing of a bat, a hair off of a rabbit, and they make their incantations. They're making a drug to take. But the word, this literally means drug use. Now, let me boil this up to boil it even more. This is anything. Alcohol is a drug. If it's changing who you are, I've known some people that everybody says, oh, they're just a great person when they're sober. Why are you drinking? You can drink. Jesus told me that. And he said it in his word. I came. But I tell you, stay away from it. Is it worth the risk? Okay? That's my stand on it. If you're going to, and I will tell you this. Paul told Timothy. Timothy had some stomach issues. He had probably ulcers. And Timothy wouldn't take anything. Paul said, Timothy, drink a little wine. It'll soothe your stomach. Years ago, I was having some serious stomach issues. And it was probably an onset of an ulcer. And I heard the Holy Spirit tell me that. Now, mind you, I don't drink, but I will take that much wine in a little glass. And let me tell you this. It is the cheapest. It is $3.54. Okay, it's not like I'm sitting around, oh yeah, I want another hit of that. I'm like, dear God, I don't want any more. That stuff will peel the paint off of a carburetor. I do that. I've told you before, I drink NyQuil. I'll take NyQuil. Y'all know what its major component is. It's so condensed, it's like, I see ya. But I don't drink because I don't want it changing who I am. Drugs, caffeine. Let's get this one out. Let's just get this one out there. Come on, let's just go for it. Let's just go for the caffeine and sugar, shall we? When your cravings begin to change who you are and it changes your personality, you have a problem. I despise the memes that I see that says, don't talk to me till I have my coffee. Get up earlier if you're going to be around people and have your coffee. But don't treat people bad because you haven't had your drug of choice. And many Americans today do not know that in the early part of the 1900s, cocaine was legal. Man, there were some hopped up people. Coca-Cola got its name from cocaine. I mean, talk about hopped up, man. sugar and all that other stuff already, and then you throw cocaine in it. It was so rampant, even the hardware store, the upper part of it. I've been up there one time, but there was so much cocaine still in the floorboards and stuff from the 1900s that police departments from the five states or so around us would bring their dogs to train them there. If you've ever seen I haven't seen them for a while, but there used to be a time you'd look down there and there's five or six different police vehicles for canine units. And they got their dogs up there sniffing. They're teaching them how to sniff cocaine. And that stuff is about 100 years old. Marijuana used to be legal. You know why they outlawed that? Because morons were driving. That was legal during Prohibition, before Prohibition. Then people started driving. It impairs you. Why? By the way, here's a little something to help you out. If you have to smoke anything that causes you to cough, there's a reason your body is coughing. It's not good for you. Your body rejects things. Just like too much alcohol, your body will shut down and it will expel it. So all of these things are works of the flesh. Now, know this. If you are battling the nicotine addictions, I'm not bringing condemnation. I pray you get your victory. I know what it's like to be controlled. I pray you get your victory. But if that thing is causing you to be a different person, there's a problem. Like I said, it goes to coffee too. And I know a lot of preachers that are in that boat. Some of them are just real jerks. That's the only way I can put it. That's coming from a preacher. So these are things to start with. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability as new creations or creatures in Christ, that's 2 Corinthians 5:17, to facilitate and develop new identities. You want to be a new person, you've got to have the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be the person I was over here. I was timid. I was arrogant. Arrogance was the chief of them all. I had low self-esteem. Well, how can that be? I was arrogant. I covered it. There's a lot of stuff I don't want to deal with. I don't want to go back to who I was. I just recently was talking to another brother, and he was telling me about a situation he's in. And I know that in times past he's had the same kind of situation, because he had sent me a message and asked me to pray for him. He said, I've just told too many lies. I've deceived too many people. I'm like, what on earth have you been doing? You're a believer. You're not supposed to be doing that. And then when I was talking to him the other day, he told me of a situation he's in, and the reason he's really in the quandary he's in is because of deception. He tried to deceive somebody, and they're about to find out. And this time, it may not just affect him, it may affect a friend of his job. That's how bad it got. You're a believer. Why are you practicing deception? Have we so soon forgotten the little ditty? Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. You got to tell one lie to cover the other. And then eventually, what lie did I tell? I mean, we watch TV and we watch these spineless, gutless men on there tell lies all the time. Oh, for crying out loud, just tell your wife the truth. You screwed up. Ladies, I screwed up, honey. Guys, just tell the truth. Hey, I really messed up now. Forgive and move on with your life. That's how easy it is. And if it was something that actually hurt you, well, I get it. It might take you a minute for your toes to quit tingling, or for the slap to quit stinging, or in some cases, the knife to quit, somebody to reach out and take the knife out of your back. I'm not going to lie, there's days I think there's actually an opening in the back of mine that says, please stab me. It's like, what is that uncomfortableness? Being new creations and creatures in Christ, the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to have, and I am going to put my eyeballs back on, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's nine of them. If you've been around again for a minute, you know those are called the fruits of the Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit really comes to help you with. That is why he called him the Comforter. He will bring all that and bring you the ability. Well, I'm not very patient. I'm going to tell you right now, I've told you every time and time again, don't ask God for patience. You are going to get your opportunity and you're going to blow it first thing Monday morning. Every time I've taught on patience, some days I didn't even make it out the door. Somebody's always got to tell me why they can't be a patient person. Oh, yes, that's not a good thing to tell God. By the way, you just confessed it to me, to him. Don't tell God, I need patience. Because the devil is listening too. And he's going to bring you all kinds of garbage. I'm just picking on Pat. I'm not saying he needs patience. And out of all of those, the greatest, we hear love, faith, hope, and love, all abide. Well, I want to be a great person of faith. I've got hope. I want to be known for my love. I want to be known for love. Because the Bible says, out of these three, love is the greatest. By the way, if you read down the rest of that part, you're not in Galatians, but in Galatians, right after self-control, it says, against such there is no law. There's no law. I can't love you enough. Oh, that's true. Now, we're not talking fornication. We're talking agape, not eros. Eros is for your spouse. Agape is for everybody else. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and... not for certain. Does that say bear fruit? What kind of fruit? Love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness. And that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So many people, I don't understand why God's not moving in my life. Well, what kind of fruit are you producing? Are you producing garbage? Are you producing rotten food when you should be producing good fruit? And I love this here too. It says that it should remain. The will of the Holy Spirit is God's will. And his will is for you to overcome the works of the flesh and produce fruit that remains as a testimony of him and his goodness. He doesn't care if you go out and hold revivals and get 15 million people saved. That's not what he called you to do. That's a good thing. I'm not Billy Graham. He called me to produce fruit. Now, mind you, he's been working on me for some time with this, about 30 years. and still going. But he wants to know that your fruit remains. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. What he's saying is, when you pass and you go on to your reward, what are people saying about you? I don't care what people think about me. You better. It's your legacy. What do people really think about you? He was a jerk. You may not have thought you were a jerk. God has been correcting me on so many things over the last however many years now. It's not that I'm getting soft. It's that I'm realizing I don't need to be at war with everything. I'm not a fan of cats. Most of y'all know that. Me and cats, we do not have a love affair. I do not hate them. They have a purpose. A couple weeks back, I was in here and I looked out, and here comes this little tomcat walking across. I didn't know it was a tomcat, and the one side of me rose up and said, "Go get it." Y'all, some of you, if you know me, you know his cat bit me and didn't even know me. I'm like, dang, he's already heard. And I thought, no, that cat's not hurting me. That cat is not bothering me. It's not bothering one dang thing. That cat walked around. I'd had my truck parked out there, just washed it, cleaned the tires, cleaned the rims. Cat backed up to my truck. I hate the smell of cat pee. I use that word because you all know how strong that is. I loathe the smell. That was one thing I had about living here in town. People, fix your cats and keep them home. Please. They would spray our back and front porch every other night. I'm like, I hate that smell. It smells like Jesse's shoes when he takes them off from football practice. My nephew and Jesse both, their feet smell like cat pee. We're like, oh, buddy, I love you, but yeah. So, but anyhow, this morning, I'm walking around here and I'm praying, and I'm going to tell you what, it got good enough where it was 68 degrees in here. Okay, I cooled this place down. And in preparation for the heating in the bodies, okay? I've had a class on heating and cooling stuff. And so I'm walking around here, and I'm starting to get warm. And I'm walking, I go out there in the hallway, and it's really cool out there in the hallway, and standing there in a fan, and I see that cat walk across the rocks. I was standing there at that window right there. I stood there. Donk! Cat looks up at me. Just stares at me. Psst! Then he jumps. Runs over to the other window. So I walk over to the other window. He's standing there staring at me. I'm like, what? Are you stupid? You peed on my truck. I just got it back from the body shop the other day, and I pull up, and Angela's showing her, and the dog comes out, and I'm like, keep him in. They just detailed it. He don't need to pee on my truck yet. So, cat jumps, runs over to the doors, stands there, looks at me. I mean, I'm like from here looking through the door at the cat. Like, go on, shoo, shoo. Then the cat takes a few more steps, stops, looks at me. And then it takes off and runs over to the corner of my office. Stops and looks at me. And all I had to think was, I just don't want him peeing on my truck. I've had to learn to take a chill. It's not a big deal. Yeah, I don't like the smell. Okay? A dog is one thing. A cat, especially a tomcat, totally different deal. What will you be known as? I don't want to be known as Pastor Art, the cat hater. I mean, that's the least of the things you could, I could be known for. Me personally, he loved us. And I say that not trying to give anybody any ideas on eulogies and stuff, which I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. But when we go, what are they going to say? What will they say about your godly walk? They were such a hypocrite. They taught love, and then they'd go out and they would just cuss people up one side and down the other. That's hypocritical. The other day I got me a lesson. The Holy Spirit the whole time. When I turned my truck in to have the work done, my insurance policy is the same vehicle. I pay for that privilege, so I'm not driving a Yugo. I want a truck. I tell them, I bought a truck because I need a truck, not because I think it makes me look cool, even though it does. Y'all that drive trucks, you know what I'm saying. And so I get over there and found out I had an eye appointment that morning, so Angela's got to take me over. We're over there trying to get things done by 9 o'clock. And sitting out front is a 2020 Silverado, full four cab, big crew cab. I thought, all right, because they weren't for sure they were going to get me a truck. I said, all right, they've even got it ready for me. And I go in there, and there's a guy standing there, and minute there. I thought, oh, well, he's turning one in. Now, praise God, talk about timing. He just turned the truck in and I'm here to take it out. No, they gave the truck to an insurance agent. And I'm like, he's like, do you need it? And the guy left and he said, is this SUV still okay? And I said, well, I really thought that truck was for me because I stated I need the truck. I have lumber to haul today. Well, let me see what we can do. He said, will you take this? And, now here's, I'm telling you all this because here's what I'm telling you. In the back of my head, I was wanting to throw such a fit. I wanted to throw such a hissy fit that, all of Marion would have heard it. So there, he's filling out all my stuff. He said, what's the name of your employer? At His Feet Christian Center. What's your job? Pastor. And at that moment, I said, thank you, Holy Spirit, for shutting my mouth. He was a youth pastor. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm learning to listen, Lord, and obey. And so we talked a little bit. His son was actually getting ready to talk to a Marine recruiter. Like the next night or that night, one of the two. I just advised him. I said, be careful. I said, all recruiters are liars. They're trained liars. Well trained. They know how to do the song and dance. The more they get, the better they are. And the whole time, I just thought, thank you, Jesus. I did not dishonor you. It wasn't me I'd been dishonoring. I really don't care about my honor in that regard. But me as the pastor throwing a hissy fit over my vehicle not being right, honestly, it did pretty good. It got more get up and go than my trucks got. Boy, I had to relearn how to drive. Because that thing, you could go into sport mode, eco mode, or normal mode. And I could make that little V6 sing. The only thing I didn't like about it is it told on me all the time. It was telling me when I was speeding. So it was telling me all the time. You go one over and the little thing up in the dash comes on red. Seriously? And the cruise control would kick off when you got so close to a vehicle. It would start slowing you down. I'm like, why am I slowing down? What is going on here? I want to get up here and then go around this guy. I'm on 71. I want to cruise up here and then just go around. That's what I do in my truck. No, not this thing, man. We're from here to the front of the building. Really? Get over in the other lane. Oh. Just remember to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You could save yourself a ton. Well, my family's going to say good things about me. I got a handful of people. No, you want every person who knows you to be able to say something good. They may not have known the true you, but at least they could say, you know what? He was nice to me. That's kindness. He was kind. She was kind. I felt they truly cared. You know, one thing that I have heard over and over and over and over again about when people come in here and we talk to them about, you know, how they're adapting, they said, I felt loved. And I'm telling you, you are loved. Well, we're not having shindigs and social gatherings all the time. We're not a social church. And when I say that, we're not a social club. It's not about being a social club. You guys, I've told you, get together. But it's not what church is about. Church is about when we hear that Mason was in a bad fire. And they've now rushed him to Columbus. And all of a sudden, one of the reports I remember reading, or Angela was telling me about, it said he had nothing on his face. This was a flash fire, folks. Now, speaking from experience of an idiot, as an idiot, who has thrown gasoline onto a fire in a wood stove, I was 9. I lost my bangs. I lost my eyebrows. I lost most of my eyelashes. And Mickey Mouse was fried. He was on my shirt. Mason had none of that. They said it's as if somebody covered his face. Don't tell me there's not a God. I'm going to stop there. But that right there should help a lot of you in your walk with God and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to be the one when we convict us of sin. By the way, I didn't list all the works of the flesh. I'm like, I'm not here to focus on sin today, on the goodness of the Holy Spirit. But if you run to Galatians chapter 5, lewdness, loss of self-control, outbursts of anger. There's a lot of things in it. There's sin. And by the way, Paul ends that up and he says, of which I have told you before, those who practice these, they will not receive the kingdom of heaven. They will not inherit it. Don't know about y'all, but, you know, so thus far my earthly family has kind of left me a little wanting in the inheritance department. Some of you are probably in the same boats. Been some rough times and some things. I want that inheritance. Money, lands, cars, none of that stuff means anything if I don't have that. Amen? Let's stand. Next week, I think I have a count of up to about 6 teachers right now in here, in this body. They're not all here right now. We're going to pray for the kids that are going back to school and the teachers. We do this every year, and I'll pray for coaches. I know some of you are already coaching, but we'll pray as well at that time. Because, you know, this is going to be another curveball year. Teachers and kids and coaches and staff, they're all going to be learning while somebody else is guessing. So they're going to need patience. They're going to need grace. We're going to throw that in there. They're going to need God's grace. We're not praying for patience for you guys, okay? I'm not bringing that upon you. I'm praying God's grace. But yeah, like I said, I think we've got about 6 people who work in the school district. I think just in Mount Gilead. No. We actually have more than that now. My brain's starting to kick in. We've got a few more who work at other schools. So I think we're up to 7 or 8. But anyhow, so be praying. Listen, all the joking aside from Joe Biden, and I will tell you this, you've heard me saying before, when they're the president, refer to them honorably. I will tell you, I do not believe he is the legal president. I do not believe it. Okay? But he is a patsy for something coming down. And they're gonna hang him out to dry. The people that do this stuff do not care. Obviously, they don't care. Pray for him. Pray that he comes into a right standing in his mind, that he can acknowledge Christ, truly acknowledge Christ. We're not called to hate them. We're not called to fight them. We're called to pray. And I'm going to tell you right now, we can move mountains. I don't have to go out there and move a physical mountain. I got to move these spiritual roadblocks that are stopping what God is going to be doing. They're not stopping. They ain't going to stop it. So just remember that. Be praying for them. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you to be in your body. Lord, we thank you to be the set out, the set apart, the holy of the remnant. Father, I thank you and praise you right now that you're moving in this body. You're moving with people that are watching at home. Father, I pray right now for healing in their bodies. Father, I curse sickness and disease right now in Jesus' name, and I speak life and health back into their bodies. Father, whether it be COVID or whether it just be a flu strain, Father, I thank you. You're healing them right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that you're moving in this body. Father, you're helping everybody, to include myself, be overcomers, to overcome the roadblocks, things that are so easily setting us aside. Father, the things that keep reaching out and grabbing us, tripping us up. Father, I thank you for your presence here today amongst us. Father, I thank you that you're moving in a way across this village, across this county, across the center of this state, Father, and then across this state. Father, that your love will be the testimony people speak of. Your goodness will be what people speak of. And now, Father, I bless these people. Father, I pray that you go before them. You make their path straight. You remove the stumbling blocks that the enemy is setting before them. In Jesus' name, amen.